Merry Christmas. It's a somber one for many, and we'll have all the latest news in the newscast. And later, how the role of food banks has expanded, author Wally Lamb. But on this day, you hopefully have a little more time to listen to a story, and we start with a good one. It begins in a classroom at Boston College, but ricochets to Vietnam, Romania, Iraq, Afghanistan, and the Pacific during World War II. So, here we go.
Where do you need this to go?
Well, let's make it like a square here, like a V.
Okay. Recently, several veterans, mostly young, set up tables at Boston College for a writing class for veterans, run by Roxana von Krauss.
How did the idea for this writing workshop come about?
Robin, writing helps, and it helped me. It helped me through all my life. It helped me to get out of Romania. I wrote a letter to President Ford.
Wait, to President Ford?
Yes.
We should say we know Roxana von Krauss as the owner of Quo Vadis Travel Agency. She's taken us to places like Vietnam, which is where she was in 2003 when she learned her son was being deployed to a new American war in Iraq. But as a young woman, she was a political dissident who fled Nicolae Ceausescu's brutally repressive communist regime in Romania. She hasn't quite shaken the fears from back then, and today she worries about her son, the Marine.
Yes, I do. And that's why the writing helps me, because I don't want to be conquered by fear. I refuse to be afraid.
What were you afraid of in Romania?
In Romania, it was a complete different story. The entire country was our prison. Everybody was informing on everybody else. You couldn't trust anybody. I mean, even at home, if we speak, we have to cover the telephone with a pillow and put the radio on to jam our own conversations. But I didn't leave because I was afraid. I was always free. I could always write and I could always think. And in 75, I really decided I want to leave the country.
So you write your letter to no less than President Ford?
Yes, you would.
What'd you say in the letter?
I was completely insane, but insanity pays. People tell me I was courageous. No, I wasn't. I was just desperate. So I told him that I cannot live in this country and I cannot live a lie. Extremely dangerous, I would say, but I was able to get out. I got out. My sons are born here, both of them in New Jersey. And I always told them, you are Americans, and don't ever forget this. Nobody can take that away from you. You are free. And they remembered. So I put them to the best schools, you know. I mean, everything you wanted to give, I gave them. Then Brian is a philology major. He graduated from here, from Boston College. So in fourth year, he tells me, Mama, I'm joining the Marines. So I couldn't say a word for about 1 week. And then I asked him, Brian, why do you join? And he said, Mama, because this country did so much for us, we have to pay back. So then you don't know. Have I been a bad mother? Have I been a good mother? You start questioning yourself. And then I decided I'm going to support him all the way. That is the only way. I mean, he's my son.
But, you know, it was just, it's so compelling because here, I mean, you love this country. You're, you know, that's an immigrant story. And yet you had hoped to get him to a safer place. And he was going to put himself in a very, very dangerous situation. I remember when he was in, I mean, what you were like when he was in Iraq.
Yes, and the war started when we were in Cambodia.
We had traveled with a group of public radio listeners to Vietnam and Cambodia. It was tough.
Yes, we were touring Angkor Wat that morning. And then we came back to the hotel, and the concierge dressed in that superb white starch uniform. He leans over and tells me, Madame, the madness has started. Meaning the war has started.
In Iraq.
Yes. So I went upstairs and I put on the BBC. It was live broadcasting from Iraq. I didn't move the entire night. I watched BBC because I thought if I fall asleep, I fail him.
Yeah. So now part of what you want to do, you know, to let people know, first of all, how the mothers waiting behind are feeling. But what were you hoping to do with this class?
I find it absolutely extraordinarily helpful because I see Brian, before he left Afghanistan, he sent me a collection of his poems. Brian got the Silver Star in Fallujah because he saved his platoon, they were ambushed in Fallujah, and he saved them all, so he got the Silver Star. And that affected him on different levels. And I realized that that writing helped him deal with his deployments, helped him deal with the war. And that's why I thought, if that helps Brian to go through this, if that helps me, it's important for all the veterans to go through this writing, because it's more than a therapy. It gets you through pain, and it brings you to light.
This is a war journal, and it's called I Love You, Brian. It starts in January 17, 2003, in California. Thousands of Marines have left San Diego today for the possible war in Iraq. My son is one of them.
At the weekly session, the participants, five this night, huddle around the table, hanging on every word, and take turns reading some of their own writing.
Their expressive eyes not yet hidden under burkas. I never understood why the children were so fascinated by the American military. I like to think they saw us as their rescuers, riding in on our heavily armored steeds to pluck them from the grasps of insurgent control. But it's probably more accurate to call us aliens. Our big trucks were fascinating. So were our weapons and body armor, the brazenness with which we strode down their streets and burst into their homes. I was fascinating.
When the surrender news was announced, I was standing watch as a quartermaster petty officer in the Chaffee's pilot house when Ken Bowden, a radio man in the radio shack just below the pilot house, rushed by me and up the three steps to the bridge to hand the captain, A.C. Jones, the message that an American bomber had dropped an atomic bomb on Hiroshima that caused massive, unbelievable destruction by a single bomb. There were no cheers on the bridge when we learned about the atomic bomb. There was just an unnatural silence.
I have lost my steady hands to this business of fear. I sense them trying to shake, sorting through words which best describe this prompt, fear. What do I fear for Marines, about Marines? Something close. Death. Everybody fears death. I fear life, but that's too big. Think small. Button small. Smaller.
I remember the infamous final walk on the tarmac to my aircraft, each and every time. It was a walk to the aircraft that was taking me home from a deployment. There were familiar smells, familiar sounds, and familiar characteristics. That final walk provided the absolute best feeling in the world. You can finally relax, loosen the grip on your weapon, wiggle your toes, relax your muscles, and daydream of the homecoming in the months stateside to follow. People always ask me about my deployments.
And our wars are still fought on the other side of time. In Washington, Mr. Obama reports withdrawal of the American soldiers to be replaced by Navy SEALs and MARSOC, Marine Special Forces. And my son is leaving for Afghanistan this month, on my birthday. So now you know how mothers feel.
Roxana, before her, former Captain Bethany Marullo, who deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan with her husband Joe, also a former captain. Joe's now getting his MBA here at Boston College, but he didn't do a reading on this night. Former Marine Sergeant Giselle Sterling did. She's another Afghan vet, as did Lauren Johnson, who served in Afghanistan as a public affairs officer. Also in the mix, Van Christo, a veteran of the Pacific Campaign in World War II, and younger vets like Bethany, soaked up every word.
This is, we get to hear from a World War II veteran. I mean, I tell Joe all the time, that's amazing to me, to be able to share between our experiences and his experiences. They are complete opposites. You'll hear him speak about not having, you know, the food and him hungry on the subs, and we have more food while deployed.
People gained 10 pounds in 12 months overseas.
Yes, for some of us, and that was because we were back on probably the larger bases. But it's amazing.
And they note other differences, for instance, homecomings. Van sailed home into San Francisco Harbor.
We'd go into a bar, and the bartender would say, hey, the first drink is on us, you know, welcome home, you know, we thank you for your service. People would come up to you in restaurants, you know, maybe three or four of us sitting around the table, and, you know, thank you for your service. You know, they would send over drinks. They, you know, we felt welcomed. We felt, you know, we felt good that we, you know, that we served. I got to tell you, I was kissed by by more pretty girls.
Oh, that's one thing you are missing out, sure. I don't know about you, Joe. You had the same experience as Ben?
That's always been around me, so I never
got
to. Yeah,
he never gets the opportunity.
I think it's easier, and maybe you guys agree. I feel like it's easier deployed. You knew what to think about when you were deployed, or it's almost more difficult being in, I say, not the real world. It just seems like it's harder. Sometimes deployments were easier. You didn't have to worry about the payment, you know, to the house payment. You'd have to worry about the car payment usually. You didn't worry about your credit card payments. You didn't worry about the family function you were missing because you had a great excuse because you're in Iraq and Afghanistan. We find that life consumes us more here just living a normal life than it did deployed. And I don't mean, and like I said, it's not easier because deployment is extremely tough, stressful. It was just, it offered more of like a getaway from reality.
And I think simpler.
Simpler. That's a good word. Simpler. Because when you come back here, it's crazy.
Freedom is complicated.
Freedom is very complicated. Exactly.
Well, we're going to hear more in a few minutes about those complications. But I asked Roxana about something else she sees. She says there are things the young vets won't say to their parents. They don't want to hurt them. And they're surprised that there are things she won't say to her son.
I don't know if I want to know things. I don't know if I'm allowed to ask things and to find out. And that, I think, that's why the writing helps. You cannot live like this in silence. A friend of Brian, they were in Iraq the first time. He's a Yale graduate. When his parents told him that they can't handle another deployment, he quit. And I don't know if I'm allowed to tell that to Brian. I don't know. Should I tell him what I feel? Should I? No, maybe with this interview, you will know, the whole world will know. But it's very confusing for a parent.
Yeah. We are all parents of the willing. Those idealistic young men and women who are volunteered to fight for our country, to preserve the few liberties left to us in between airport body scans and telephone recordings. I thought of joining a peace walk in Washington once, not to offend my son or endanger his mission. I asked if this would be possible. His answer was typical for an American Marine. Mama, I've made my choice. You make yours.
Roxana von Strauss, one of the voices at a writing seminar for veterans and, in her case, the mother of a Marine. It's our Christmas here and now. When we come back, why something as simple as a trip to the post office will become fodder for a writing assignment. In 1 minute, here and now. Welcome back to our visit to the fledgling Agape Writing Workshop for Veterans.
I'm afraid of dust. Seriously. I'm a Marine, and I'm afraid of dust. See, in the Marine Corps, they teach you about the little things, the details. They're real animals about it. Train you to notice the needle-eyed injustice of dust until it's a life-dependent instinct. Because if you can't measure the quarter-inch space of uniform between your ribbons and your badges, then you can't measure the clicks it takes to BZO your rifle.
They are good writers. They are good writers because they are truthful. They don't hide anything, and that's extraordinary. So honest. So fresh.
That's Roxana von Strauss. As a young woman, she fled communist Romania. Now she's the mother of an active Marine and created this writing workshop, which meets at Boston College, for herself and for veterans like Giselle Sterling, who served as a Marine in Afghanistan.
Dust just sitting there, settled, dirty, mocking. Across the room on the floor is a can of cleaner and beat-up washcloth left there by hands that went to nurse a hungry baby. I want to nurse my baby. I will have to wait for the baby to be put down to free the palms and knuckles and fingers that would help me with the prosthetics I've had to use since I lost my hands.
They want things to be happening fast, they can't deal with the slowness. They can't deal with people that they don't understand what they went through. They have been through a lot of stress, and now they find it challenging, the lack of it. And they tell you these stories that you guys don't understand. Your life here, it's surreal. There, they mattered. They had a discipline, they had a mission, and they knew when that was finished what was going on. Here, you are completely lost. And one young woman told me she went to the post office to apply for the passport. And they told her first that it opens in half an hour, and she waited. Then they pushed her aside and said, no, it's another half an hour, so she waited. And said, no, we can't do it today. At that point, she just broke down. She said, you don't understand. I've been in Iraq for 6 months, and I didn't get that abuse there. I mean, these little things. She broke down.
The post office, I had just come back from a 12-month deployment to Kandahar City, and my husband and I were going to take a trip out of the country.
That's Bethany Marullo sitting next to her husband, Joe. They met at West Point, deployed together to Iraq 15 months, then Afghanistan for a year.
I think I was so wound tight from the deployment and that pace of getting something done when you needed something done. And so I had a little breakdown in the post office.
What did you say?
Well, not what I said. I think more the tears that came out of my eyes. And I was so embarrassed that I was crying. But it was an emotion I could not stop. But I think that emotion was coming from that year-long deployment. And I hadn't been able to relax and fully let go because of coming straight off the plane.
Did you say to him, I just got back from a war zone? I mean, did you say to him?
I did tell him, I just came back from deployment. I apologize for this. I'm just really upset. I don't understand these feelings. And he was obviously very concerned about me, brought out some tissues, but that was my first breakdown, and that's when I knew I needed to relax a little bit.
Did you write about that?
I did not yet. That is something I definitely should write about. You know, I used to tell my soldiers, just these feelings that come up, and sometimes you don't know where they come from. You got to take some time to reflect upon them, so I definitely need to write about that.
It's just interesting when you hear a vignette like that, and it is small and almost seemingly unrelated. It does tie back to a lot of times you have chaplains, you have psychologists, you have more people who want to come out and say, guys, you have to talk about it, you have to talk about it, you have to talk about it. And again, that's probably where the writing comes in, because just the idea of communicating something so small, but getting the feelings out there and saying, I don't know why this just happened, but let's explore it for a few minutes. And a lot of times it gets jumbled when it comes from your mind to your mouth, and it's even worse from your mind to your pen. So it helps a lot to work through it.
Joe and I were so lucky. We had a safe environment to some degree. And then we came home, and we weren't faced with rehabilitation because we've lost a body part. Now, we have had many classmates and friends mm-hmm. pass away, but it really, we have some guilt too. And so what I like to highlight is all those soldiers who did give the ultimate sacrifice, or who sacrificed and are still struggling just to get up and walk or just be able to write again because they've lost a hand. So I struggle with that. I do have some guilt.
Survivor's guilt, though.
Survivor's guilt. I guess you can call it something like that. But I want to make sure in what I'm writing that I am recognizing the other people who have given that sacrifice. Personally, as a person and soldier, I cannot thank enough the amazing support I always received stateside. Homecomings were great for that very reason. I'd like to thank the men and women who still serve and who are overseas at the time. I know what they are sacrificing, and I understand their challenges. I am so extremely proud of each and every one of them and so grateful for their continued service.
Thanks for your service and thanks for your story.
No, Hopefully I'll see you again.
The sessions are part readings, part group therapy. At the end, as the veterans exchange phone numbers and email addresses, Roxana pulls out a picture of her son, Brian, and his fellow Marines, standing tall in Afghanistan.
You saw my son, Giselle?
No.
This is Brian.
Oh, wow.
One last note. Brian wasn't able to come home for Christmas last year. This year he is. Roxana knows it's for the wrong reasons. His unit suffered too many losses and was returned. But that only underscores her feelings.
And I'm really, really grateful for this. As long as he's home and I know he's home in the country, I am at ease. I can breathe again. Like a happy mother.
Roxana von Strauss, founder of the Agape Writing Workshop for Veterans, mother of Marine Major Brian von Krauss. We also heard from former Army Captain Bethany Marullo and her husband Joe, also a former captain, former Marine Sergeant Giselle Sterling, Air Force Public Affairs Officer Lauren Johnson, and World War II Navy veteran Van Christo. To see pictures of the vets, read some of the writings, go to hearandnow.org. Back after the latest news, Here and Now.